as we've been working through this, I hope you guys enjoyed last week, enjoyed it in such a way that the Lord touched your soul, spoke to you in a new way, and perhaps maybe, just perhaps maybe, you begin to see how God is working in the world and in you. And so the question I have now is, now that you are holy temples, now that your bodies are the holy temple of the Shekinah glory of God, what does that mean for us? I mean, that should change everything. Are you with me so far? How many of you ever had a job that you felt more about the job, like it was more of a vocation than just a job you did? Has anybody ever had that? Yeah? I mean, of course, all jobs come with a set of rules, don't they? I mean, in order to be a teacher, there's some guidelines to that, right? But most teachers I meet don't do it for the pay, because they certainly don't get paid very well, right? They do it for the love of children, for the love of educating them, watching their little minds grow. Those are all the things, because, I mean, if they did it for the paycheck, it ain't going to last very long, right? Sometimes you have to find other reasons to do that job, right? Are you with me? I build houses, I remodel homes, some commercial, and I do things like that, but to me, it's not just putting nice things in a house. I sit with a client, I try to talk with them, and I try to feel what they feel about their home, not just their house. And I want to make it a place that is more home to them. So they walk in and they get that feeling like I'm home and this is good, you know? And that's important to me, that I'm not just, you know, out there putting wood flooring down or tile or, you know, new kitchen, new bathroom, whatever it may be. You ever had a job like that? You know, being a Christian is a little bit like that. It's more of a vocation that God calls us to than just this country club that James had mentioned earlier. And there are rules. Yeah, there's a whole, I mean, just read Leviticus if you can get through it awake. But there are some, like, guidelines. And you know what? The rules that we get in Scripture are kind of like the barricades along the highway. They're not meant to be constantly bumping against to keep you in the lane. You're supposed to learn how to drive in such a way, and they're an ultimate barrier for your safety. You should be able to navigate the road without bumping against the barriers all the time. Now, I've seen some of you, and, you know, there's some work to do, but right, when you read the Scripture and you get these kind of moral guidelines, they're supposed to help you understand this vocation that God has called you to. So what is this vocation that God has called us to? Now, in Genesis, we see God beginning His creation, and His Spirit broods over the waters of the deep, and He creates land and air and water and fish and birds and animals and creepy crawlies and even man in His own image, right? And women. Right? Are you guys awake? Do we need to turn the lights up a little bit to get a little brightness in here? Wake up. So, God creates, and then He says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may," what? "Rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over the wild animals and over all creation that move along the ground, all creatures that move along the ground." God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the sky, and over everything, every living creature that moves along the ground." This is the vocation that God calls us to. He created, and then He created us and partnered with us so that we would continue in that very nature of creation to keep building the garden. Are you with me? The idea isn't just to be happily pleasant in the garden, it's to continue to build the garden. And actually, when you get to the end of the scripture in Revelation 21 and 22, you see that the garden has become this grand city, right? So the forward, you're not just supposed to just hang out here. You have a vocation, a calling, a job by God to continue to build His creation. And that very last part is important. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Now, sometimes people call the heavens the stars and the sun, moon, and all that stuff. Or is it all the dwelling in the glory of God and earth have been created together? That was the original purpose. Now, if you've been following me for the last 4 weeks, that was what God started with. That's what He wanted from the beginning. And as He's and of course we had that problem where there was that sin entered in, right? Which then separated the heavens and the earth, which isn't the way God intended it to be. Are you with me so far? Are you tracking? Everybody awake? God's intent was to dwell with His creation, to be with His creation, to have all of His all of heaven's divinity to be in the midst of His creation so that you and I can walk with God in the cool of the garden and to then be what we were called to be, God's partners in continuing the creation. And how do we do that? Out of our own strength? No. See, that's the reason we need all of divinity here with us, because it's through His power, through His strength, through His glory, through all that He is, that empowers us to be that creative essence in the world. Imagine with me for just one moment, if you began to believe that God dwelled in you, and that very creative essence within you is what God created you to be, so that you had the very purpose of being creative people in the world. To take the creation that God started, we have something that sits on our in a bowl on our countertop. When we went off to Hawaii, Ann's parents took our children over to Florida to see Ann's brother's family. And Ann's brother's family have a whole set of kids that are the same age as our set of kids. And so they had a wonderful time. But Laura, Isaac's aunt, gave Isaac something called a starter for sourdough bread. Do you guys know what this is? It's a pile of goo is what that is. I mean, it's just goo. But if you keep adding to that, it keeps going. I mean, they take something out of it and they put it in the oven and it makes sourdough bread, which, by the way, fresh baked sourdough bread, that's like heavenly creation right there. Right? Little butter on the worm bread, that's all you need. Unless, of course, you've got a pot of stew. Right? Now, am I talking vocation of creation or what? But that starter has the essence within it to make 10, 20 different loaves of bread. You just keep adding a little bit to it. I wonder if that's the idea, what God did with His creation and says, keep adding to it. Keep growing it. Let's see how wonderful this creation can be. I mean, it could be better than sourdough bread. Fresh baked. Have you ever walked into a house that the sourdough bread was baking in the oven? The whole house just says this. Oh, right? Are you with me? What if you walked into God's creation? That's why I think sometimes God says the aroma of your sacrifice is pleasing to me. Am I making any connections here? So, when Adam and Eve were there at the tree, and don't fool yourself, they were both there. So men, quit blaming the women. Adam was right there with her. What was the problem with the tree? What was the rule? If you eat of that tree, what will happen? You will surely die. And then there was a lie that said, oh, you won't die. Except death is what entered into God's creation. Now there's all sorts of debates. Why in the world would God create a tree that has that part in it? I'm not going to get into that today. That's a whole nother sermon. And then some. But death is what entered in. And that death is been eating away at us over the centuries, over the generations, over time. And when we saw this system of sacrifice in the Old Testament, it wasn't that some innocent animal takes on your sin. The idea behind that sacrifice was that the blood of the sacrifice would help to wash away the smell of death that was so offensive to God. And God has been working over the centuries, and eventually the animal sacrifices He wouldn't do, and He says, your sacrifices are a stench to Me. Because there was no heart in it anyways. And when Jesus came, it was His pure blood that washes away the stench of death forever. Now listen, it's in Jesus that the death that decays us is washed away. I know this is difficult, and I'm not sure I understand it completely. But it could only take the blood of Jesus, who was purely divine, part of God Himself, who could fix the problem of death. Now the problem of death is fixed. And now what God calls from us is a living sacrifice, that our lives are now returned back to its original vocation of serving God and offering up praise to Him by our action in His world, by doing what He called us to do, to be creators, partnering with Him through His Holy Spirit in us, empowering us to do amazing things. That's just the setup. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, He says. Now, I have this belief, and I've been worried about this current generation with anxiety and stress. And like, these are kids who are stressing out. You're a kid. What are you? I mean, you haven't even gone to work yet. But they are. Some of these kids have real anxiety problems. And I was just talking about kids. Some of you adults have got the same problem. I have visited with people who are afraid to leave their home. I have seen people who live life feeling like their self-worth is nothing. And I think the problem lies in the fact that you have been called to be so much more, but you bought into this lie that you are nothing. You have been called to be the very temple of the Holy God. You are valuable. You are worthy. And not only that, but you have not only been called to be the holy temple of God, to have His Spirit living within you, you have also been called with a purpose. Now, people with a purpose will not perish. I said that backwards. It comes from Daniel. He says, people without purpose will perish. And it seems to me those who are living in anxiety and pain and struggle don't seem to have a very good purpose. And they are perishing. But you have been given a purpose from the very beginning of time to be God's holy people set aside for His purpose. To partner with Him to build His kingdom here on earth. Wow. And I was just building homes. I get to build a kingdom. The place where God dwells. And eventually, in Jerusalem, this huge square city, 7 miles by 7 miles by 7 miles, whatever, that we read about in Revelation, that's thought to be where the Holy of Holies resides here on earth. See, God's whole plan was to live here amongst His creation and to work with them to continue building. All right, now listen. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory. The glory is not that you go to heaven and light up like some electric light bulb. The glory is that you have been called to be God's creation, and the glory that will be revealed in you is His holiness emanating from you in the sense of sacrifice to Him. That your life is a living sacrifice. That is glory. That emanating from you is the holy essence of God. In all of His power, in all of His majesty, He grants to you so that you can reach out and touch other lives. Here's a young man I've been working with. And he feels worthless. He has run through a string of bad luck. Right out of high school, his father was murdered. His mother had given up on him years before that. And he was alone. His father left him an insurance policy. And he burned through that. And now he feels even stupider for burning through a $300,000 insurance policy in 1 year. And he sloughs it off like it was dirty money. My father was murdered. And we kind of understand that a little bit. But he just, I mean, this young man has just been through a string of one bad thing after the next. And he comes to me, he says, my wife is just fed up with me and she's ready to leave. And you could see the just anguish on his face, the worry, the fear. You can read it on him, just as you can read it on anybody else who goes through stuff. So I begin to share with him this idea that he was created to be so much more than he ever thought he was. like a light bulb turned on in his head. And he comes to me another day. My wife's still upset with me. I said, well, then quit acting like a wimp and start acting like a man. And I said, okay, listen, you look me in the eye. I'm going to give you some words to say to her. And I told him, this isn't for you, but I gave him some words. He went home, had a conversation with wife. He came to me the next day. He says, she held my hand all the way over here. Listen, there is hope inside of this young man who never thought he had purpose or meaning. When he gets hold of a little piece of evidence that he was created by God for something more, and he begins to live into that purpose, life begins to change. And I don't know if you've been following the media at all. There's a new Christian out there. I mean, there's new Christians out there all the time, but this one's kind of this. Have you ever heard of a guy named Kanye West? I mean, he said some really stupid things over the years. But lately, he's got a new album out, and it's titled Jesus is King. Listen, I have not given Kanye West the time of day for anything lately. I mean, I really haven't. And a friend of mine says, hey, have you heard about Kanye West? And I thought, oh, what stupid thing has he said now? He goes, no. He gave his life to the Lord. I said, what? As if it was an impossibility, right? Like, as if it wasn't even possible for a rich, wealthy... I mean, Kanye West is a billionaire. He's done well for himself financially, even being stupid. We should all be so lucky, right? But I look... So... I got one of his songs, and one of his songs is titled God Is. And I got to tell you, there is something powerful about that song. As if suddenly he's caught on to something new. I'm going to pray for him. I really am. I heard a report that 2,000 people gave their life at one of his concerts recently. Lord, forgive me, and listen to me carefully, Lord, forgive me for thinking so less of your creation that anything could come out of that man. Instead, give me eyes to see him the way you see him, as just another man like me who has found the glory of God within him. And the interview I saw the other day, he said, listen, it's like I was asleep, but now I am awake. That's the same language you and I talk with. I'm going to pray for him. Because if that man who has influence across multitudes of people can begin to speak the glory of God into others' lives, who am I to say that God can't be in the midst of that? That's exactly what God created him to be. That's exactly what God created you to be. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. He put the creation here, and it's sitting here waiting for us to catch on to the fact that God is in us and calling us to be something more glorious. As if the clock is ticking, waiting for you. Now listen, some of you are getting along in age. My mother's birthday is coming up Wednesday, 72. Pastor Paul's going to turn 18 soon. I think next Sunday. Next month. Oh, next Sunday, next month. That's what it is. It's never too late to begin to live into the calling, the vocation that God has called you to. The clock is ticking. What in the world are you waiting for? I keep thinking of this old movie, My Cousin Vinny. Has anybody seen that? That was a great movie. And Marissa Tomei, probably the best movie she's ever done. But she's over there and she goes, "My biological clock is ticking," right? "Your holiness clock is ticking. Wake up and start living into the life God has called you to be. It's never too late. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you can be the holiness of God in the place where you are." For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in what? In hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. What's the bondage of decay? That's the sin that is bringing death. Jesus has freed you from that. Now, yes, listen. Your body is going to die someday. We have, Ann has a cousin, lives in Camp Verde. And we were supposed to have a family dinner Thursday, and it got canceled because they decided that all the chemo and all the stuff just was not working. And they were going to move him into hospice and just make him as comfortable as he can until his body goes on, which will not be very long. I don't think there's anybody in this room who doesn't understand cancer. I don't think there's anybody in this room who hasn't been affected in some way, shape, or form by some family member, friend, or somebody you know who died from cancer. My father was one of them. My grandmother. And you could probably name on two hands and toes and all that stuff. Your body may decay, but you have been given the Spirit that will live for eternity. And you will be given a new body. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption to sonship. The redemption of our bodies. There it is, right? For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Be patient. After all, there's revelation that says there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sadness, for the day of Jubilee will arrive. And the Spirit of God that lives within His people will be that life-giving force, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by human hands, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You have been called to be a holy priesthood. Where do the priests work? In the temple. Where's the temple now? You are called to be a holy priesthood. What does that mean? The priest had a very important job, to take care of the holy temple, to keep it preserved, to keep it clean, to keep it right, so that God can live and dwell in the temple. You have been called to be a holy priesthood. You have a job to do to keep the holy temple of God pure and clean for the holiness of God to dwell in you. This is where the rubber meets the road, isn't it? This is where the tough part is. This is why in Romans 7 you have trouble with, I do not do what I want to do, but I do what I, you know. It's because you have been living so long in decay, and you've gotten used to the decay, that you're habitually decaying, and God calls you to more than decay. He calls you to live. He calls you to be the holy temple, which means let's clean this junk out. Now, listen, we have trouble with the word sin, because that's what we label that junk, isn't it? Now listen, the Greek word for sin is missing the mark. Right? Are you with me so far? We have missed the mark for so long because you have been called to be a holy priesthood. You have been called to be a vocation of God to live out in this world, to be that creative force of God partnering with Him and His Holy Spirit to keep building His creation. And you have missed the mark for all these years. You have missed the calling. You thought it was just to be happy, to have a great retirement and golf 3 out of 4 days a week. 3 out of 7 days a week. Sorry. I was thinking 3/4 of the time, but you know. You have been called to be so much more. And listen, whatever it is you do, that can be a holy calling. I have talked to so many young men who thought, in order to have that holy calling, I must enter into the pastorate. Wait a minute. You go to a secular job where there's thousands of people that work in your company who don't know the Lord, and you want to move out of that into the church? Listen, stay where you're at. The church is already lost. No, I mean, start a Bible study right there at your work. Be the holy essence of God in the midst of where you are and shine where you are. I have seen Christian men and women who work in a place and give all that they have to that place and rise through the ranks like a skyrocket. Why? Because they work harder and better as if it were a vocation of God. More so than just collecting a paycheck. Have you seen it? That's how you get that great retirement, by the way. Maybe that great retirement is just one of the blessings that God has granted you. For being what you were called to be. So, but you are a chosen people. Who? You. Not just Jews, but Jews, Gentiles, male, female, everybody. You are God's creation. Not just the descendants of Abraham. All of us were created by God to be His chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That is powerful stuff. You have been called out of darkness. Some people call death a darkness. You have been called out of the death that has been grasping onto you for so long. It's time to be free of that death because Jesus paid the price and He continues. His work on the cross continues on throughout history. It doesn't ever quit because He is the once and for all, the forever cure. that now frees us from our decay, from our darkness, and allows us to enter into the light that we were called to be in the first place. There is a holy vocation, and that holy vocation is to be the holiness of God, to be unified in His kingdom. That's that Hebrew word I keep sharing with you. Anybody know what that word is? Shalom. To be unified. Now, it's one thing to be holy. It's a whole other thing to be unified. It's easy enough to be holy, but not unified. And sometimes it's easy to be unified, but not holy. See, what happens in the church is if everybody's holy but not unified, then you just split up. And as long as you're on the right side, when you make that new church, you're okay. Or it's one thing to be unified as long as you're not too fussy about the moral standards of being holy. I've seen churches go both ways. But what we're called to be is holy and unified, living in shalom with each other. And if you're holy and unified, then you have a mission to be God's created people in the world, to continue to build on God's creation. This is our holy vocation. This is our call. This is what you were meant to be, what you were created to be. You have purpose. You have meaning. You have value beyond your wildest imagination. It's time to live in it. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, it is through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we have been made holy in you. So, Lord, I pray, unify us. Unite us. Just as in the moments when we take communion together, you make us one body in you. And as we have this holiness within us, and we are united people, where two or more are gathered in your name, greatness is there to be. You will be there in us, giving us your power, your strength, your holiness, to have purpose, to have mission in this world, mission to create your kingdom and build it, we pray. Lord, give us the strength, give us the courage. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear you within our lives. May your Holy Spirit move within us, and may we recognize our purpose as holy priesthood.